told everyone like seven's the goal. I wasn't ready to drop at that point. And I met some other runners. I think loops two through four or five, I ran with a couple guys and told them that seven was my goal. And one of them told me, if I don't see you toeing the line for loop seven, I'm dragging you out there.
I love it.
Hi, this is Caleb Dilley, and I'm a big-ass runner from the Hall of Fame city, Canton, Ohio. In Canton, we have a saying, you can't enjoy yourself unless you're out running the trails. Welcome to the Big-Ass Runner Podcast, where we entertain and encourage trail runners from all over the world. Now, here's your incredible host, Jeff Harrell.
Well, excellent job, Caleb, and punny as well. Love that introduction. As Caleb said, my name is Jeff Harrell. This is the Big Ass Runner Trail Running Podcast, episode number 183. Great show for you today. We have a little different setup. We're just doing one extended segment because we have a special guest in studio, in the Big Ass Runner studio. We're going to dive into the last man standing, the last person standing. Those races are becoming more and more popular, and we had someone that just did one, and he's going to share his experience. So if you thought about doing a race like that and want to learn more and want to get the inside scoop, well, then stick around because that's what we're going to talk about in our extended segment number one. But first, I talked about saunas a few episodes ago. I got a sauna. I love it. Still use it pretty much every day, at least five or six times a week. It has become my evening routine. I enjoy just getting in there, getting my sweat on, hopping in a cold shower, hopping back in the sauna. I really sleep better. It's been fantastic. And I've heard from a lot of you, had a lot of people asking questions, which one did I get? Tell me more. And actually received an Instagram message from the great Kathleen Hanley. She had seen Candace Burt post about saunas. If you don't know who Candace is, she is the race director for three of the signature 200 milers, Tahoe, Moab, and Bigfoot. She did that consecutive 50K streak earlier this year. She's quite an athlete, quite a race director, bit of an influencer in the trail running space. And she posted about saunas, and I want to read a couple of different times she posted about this. She posted, this is back on the 3rd of December, so fairly recently. She says, sauna / hot tub / hot bath, hot water immersion, are underrated techniques to improve your running. I'm doing a 20 to 30 minute heat session per day to prepare for my next race, and I'm realizing there are way more benefits than I realized. Truly remarkable how good I'm feeling. P.S. There's specific protocol and build up. Well, then her next post, she says, and this one was on, I'm bad with dates, December 13th, sauna sessions for heat adaptation are a key part of my current regimen, as Hawaii will be pretty warm compared to freezing Colorado and very humid. I spend 30 minutes in the sauna post-workout, which I've worked up to, without water. Then I rehydrate slowly over the next 3 to 4 hours. So there you go. This is coming from the great Candace Burt. You can find her at @runcandace on the Twitter, now known as X, I believe. But she is a fan of the sauna, as am I. Hey, if Candace likes it, it's got to be great. There you go. There's a little insight, a little added info about the greatness of the sauna. Well, with that, let's get going on episode number 183, The Big Ass Runner.
Backstroke love always hot beneath the covers till I talk to my daddy. He say you ain't seen nothing till you're down on your muffin. To say in your head, I met a cheerleader, a real young leader, all the time
ladies and gentlemen, joining us in the Big Ass Runner studio, it's the great Hayden Harrell. Hayden, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
You are a returning guest.
Yes.
You have been on several times.
Couple.
And always a highlight. Like rock star status, I believe. Do you agree with that?
Questionable. Some days yes, some days no.
Well, we want to talk to you because you did something unique a couple of weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last weekend, actually.
This past weekend.
That we want to talk about because I have not done this before. You had not done this before.
Mm-mm.
It was a new experience. The listeners are going, what are they talking about? Hayden, what did you do last weekend?
So I did a last man standing
race. Whoa.
Yes, I did.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to dive into that in deeper detail, but I wanted to start at a high level.
Okay.
Because there's lots of, you've done races.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a marathon.
I have.
A dirt marathon,
mm-hmm,
out of Grasslands. You've done half marathons. You've done different races. What was it about a last man standing that you said, that's what something I want to do?
Something about the format has always been so interesting to me since I heard about them. And also, I have a 50K coming up at Bandera in January. And so that's a distance I'd never done previously. So I felt like a last man standing was a good opportunity to try and build up to that distance without fully committing to that distance. And also just having the opportunity where, you know, once every hour, guaranteed, I get to see my crew, the people who came out there. I know what's at the aid station because it's the same aid station every single time. So I think just the layout of it, the format of it was a good opportunity for me to try and push that PR distance without adding too many variables, I guess.
And your PR distance was 26.2.
Yep, correct.
Out of Grasslands last March.
Last March, yep.
So you had tackled a few races since then, mm-hmm, including a half Ironman.
True.
So you were anxious to get back on the trail.
Yes, I was.
I think a lot of us are very interested in last man standing for the reasons you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see your crew. You kind of know the course.
Yep.
You come back to the same spot you started at. It's basically a loop. So what was the setup of this race?
So it was very interesting, not exactly what I expected. It's a 4.5 mile loop, and they actually don't call them loops, they call them lands. I did the back land, so they call each loop a land. And so at the start of each land is about 2 and some change miles of road.
Oh,
so
okay.
A lot more road than I was expecting.
Little combo.
So you go all the way out of the road that you came in on, and then you come back to the start line. Here's where you turn into the trails, and it's about 2 miles of trails, and then it finishes with like maybe a quarter mile of road, and then you're back to the start.
So it's kind of a combo. It actually would be, so if you're a road runner listening, mm-hmm, out there, and you're like, hey, I want to get into some trail.
Yeah.
That might be the
perfect opportunity.
God, entryway. It's
exactly.
Like a gateway drug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Into the trails.
Something like that. And trails are hard. There were trees falling over that you'd have to climb over, some steep declines that you couldn't really run. So it did get pretty technical, but the road did help, especially those early miles. Like, okay, I can move a little quicker on this, save some time for the trails to, you know, slow it down, keep my heart rate low. So I did like some aspects of that. Towards the last couple lands I was doing, the road was pretty brutal, just boring. And so it did have some pros and cons, a lot more road than I was expecting.
We'll dive into the actual race here in a second because we want to hear about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of questions. So where was this race?
Up in Gordonville, Texas.
Gordonville, Texas.
Gordonville, Texas.
Where in the heck is that?
I still don't know. My GPS took me there, thank goodness.
It's
basically
near
Oklahoma.
Lake Texoma, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, it's just straight north from us in McKinney, just about.
So it's about as far north Texas as you can get without being in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Got it. And who put on this race?
Texas Outlaw Running.
Oh, yeah. Company. Briston.
Yeah.
Did you meet Briston?
I don't know. I might have.
Yeah, we know a couple of those guys. Great race company.
Yep.
So they put on the race. So you knew it was it's a four, how many?
Four and a half mile, which is a little longer than most backyard ultras.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a 4.5 mile loop.
Mm-hmm.
And you, how much time do you have for each loop?
Exactly an hour.
An hour?
One hour. And I did the math. I think a 13 minute mile, you'd have like a minute and a half in between. And so I was like, okay, I can do that, you know.
Because you could average on the road maybe a 10 minute mile. Mm-hmm. You could average a little speedier on the road.
Right.
A little slower on the trail. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got an hour to do 4.5 miles.
Yep.
And did you have a goal going in? Did you say, hey, I want to do this number of loops?
I did. So I wanted to do 7 loops was, I guess, my primary goal. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, I could just do 6 in the time that I'm given. As long as I start my 7th, even if I don't make it back, I did an ultra. But the more I thought about it, I was like, man, I'd love to do it in the allotted time, finish up that 7 lap before the hour that we're given. And then I guess my final, maybe less a goal, but just a hope. I've had some knee problems for when I'm really pushing the distance, like at Grasslands. Had to pop a knee brace on for the last 6 miles or so. But I feel like my training's been going well. I've been doing a lot more strength and mobility exercises. So my final goal was to be able to do all that without the knee brace or any kind of knee pain. And I hit all of those goals. Super excited to share.
Alert.
Oh, hello. Sorry. I wasn't supposed to share that.
Well, that's so 7 loops was your goal. And is that, you may have said this, that's because it was a ultra distance.
Yes.
That would get you to 32.
31 and a half technically, but with all my, you know, bathroom breaks and whatnot, it ended up being a little over 32.
Love it. So you went in going, okay, I'm doing 7 loops.
Yep.
I'm curious on your training strategy. So this is a little different than your normal ultra.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess you could say it's almost like seeing an aid station every 4.5 miles.
Yes.
And stopping.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you change your training strategy based on knowing you'll stop every 4.5 miles?
A little bit. I think, and this is probably for the best, I was trying to focus way more on my zone 2 training. And it's funny, I've been starting to get where Strava will say, oh, you ran this run a year ago today. And I'll look back and I was like, why was I going so freaking fast doing 8 minute miles, but my heart rate's at like 170 plus. So since Ironman, I've really focused on, okay, I want to keep my heart rate, you know, 140s and just low and slow to try and help this race where, you know, speed's not going to do me any good. It's going to save me, you know, a couple minutes in between laps.
Right.
So yeah, just the strategy of going at a pace where I'd have about 10 minutes to recoup, rest, fuel up, and I think it went well.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So yeah. let's talk about strategy. Because we've all been running and you just kind of run, you slow your pace down.
Yep.
But then you stop, you have 10-ish minutes. What was your strategy? You're like, hey, I'm gonna stay limber. I'm going to use the massage gun. Like what were your thoughts in between these different loops?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have anything beforehand structured knowing what I was going to do. It was more just what I felt in that moment. I think between the first 3 lands that I did, I stayed standing, walked around. Between each one, I'd have a goo. So I had a goo 30 minutes into the run and then right before I towed the line again. And then I think after 3, started to sit down. You know, I was just ready to chill out for a little bit. But I think after 3 lands is when my crew really showed up. So I had some friends from church come out and they all brought lawn chairs and drinks and hung out. So after that, it was more like, okay, I just want to not think about running, just hang out, talk to my friends, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, it was more just what I was feeling in the moment. I think I had a PB&J between each one. Started to get really hungry after like the 5th lap. So started to eat a little bit more. Yeah, more just listening to my body, I'd say.
Yeah, because your body will tell you, especially if you're hungry and you're running, you're like, okay, it really needs some calories.
It lets you know, yeah.
Let me back up a little bit because I forgot to ask this. How big a race? How many participants are there?
36. Pretty smallest race I've done.
And is that predetermined? Like, do they have this many slots and then once they're filled, they're filled?
Yeah. I think when I signed up, there were like 6 spots left. This was months ago. So I don't know how long it's been full, probably a little bit.
So yeah. 36 is it.
36. And there were some good runners out there.
Uh-oh.
It was very impressive. That's true. So not that good.
Not that
good.
But
pretty good.
Tell me a little. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the makeup of the runners. Tell me a little bit about that. As you're sitting here about to toe the line, you're looking around.
Oh, man.
Was it your normal, like what you expect to see in a trail race, like you've done Lake Murray, or is it a little makeup a little bit different?
I feel like, and this is just, you know, the eye test, just stronger than average, I would say, runners. Just given, you know, any given race you'd go to, this is probably the most serious group of runners I've seen. People you can tell who's like, okay, they've done some serious distances before. And the first land that they did, they had a pacer out. I don't really know why. I guess also to show kind of where you're supposed to go in the course. It was well marked, but he went at, I think, a 10-minute pace the whole time. And that's where like the majority of runners were running at. And that was too fast for me. I didn't want to go out too hot. But yeah, a lot of these runners, and I mean, by the time I dropped out, they were still hammering like 10-minute pace, which was really impressive for me to see.
Well, talk about what gear were they wearing? Vests? Were they, did it look like a typical trail race kind of gear?
Yeah, maybe less vests than normal, just because you do have that 4.5 mile, you will be able to fuel up again. But yeah, a lot of vests, a lot of hydration belts. That's what I was rocking, was a naked belt.
The naked belt. Just
perfect for me. I love
Fantastic.
That thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say about what you'd expect to see.
So your strategy is, I want to get 7 loops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to go a slowish pace for you.
Yep.
10 minutes or so of rest in between. And you're looking around going, okay, this looks like a pretty stout group that's running this thing. And as you thought about this race and were starting to train for it, what were some of the concerns going in?
Man, that's a good question.
I only ask good questions.
Oh, my goodness. Concerns, I guess definitely going out too hot, cooking my legs, you know, 4 loops in. It's like, man, I still have 3 to go and I got nothing left. So really wanted to you know, start it slow and have a lot in the tank. I always get nervous before races, so I can't eat much. I had half of a bagel with some peanut butter. So I guess just not having fueled properly, I was a little bit nervous about that. Knee pain, as always, you know, if I'm, you know, 2 miles into the loop and then my knee starts killing me. Yeah, and I'd say it is tough with the 4.5 miles every hour. It's a reasonable pace, but towards the end, it's like, man, I'm ready to walk it out, hike it out, and doing that at 13 minutes a mile is still, you still got to move a little bit.
Yeah.
So I did that 7th with like 3 minutes to spare, which isn't all that much time. So yeah, I'd say just keeping it moving for that long. Towards the end, I'd be ready to power hike, walk it out, but you still got to be moving.
Did you have the thought, you said, okay, I'm going to do 7. Mm-hmm. Did you have the thought like, but if I feel great after 7, I'm going to go for 8, 9? Were you worried that your competitiveness would take over and you're like, I'm not stopping until I drop?
I definitely did have that thought and talked about it with Donna, my wife, in the car leading up to it. I was like, on the off chance, I'm feeling just amazing. I'll keep going. I'll try for as much as I can go for. And I wish, you know, that was the case. Part of it was, you know, all my buddies from church came out to watch me. We were looking forward to getting lunch afterwards. They'd been out there for 6 hours. It's like, okay, part of me is like, okay, for their sake, let's go get food. I hit my goal. Let's get out of here. But also I had nothing left too after that 7th. I told Donna that is like my exact PR for where my fitness is right now. I could not have done another loop, at least in the time limit. That last loop was kind of everything I had.
So you had in the back of your mind, but really 7 was your goal.
That was the goal. Yeah.
Take us through the first loop. So the gun goes off or however they started the race.
Yep.
And you see the pacer and you see the 10 minute pace. You're like, it's a little faster. Talk us through that first loop. What are you thinking about? Did it meet your expectations or what you had in your mind? Take us through the first loop.
Yeah. So the first loop, like I said, those first 2 miles are all road exclusively. So that was a big surprise. But at that point, you know, it's a welcome one. It's easy to run. So I'm like, okay, I just want to keep 10:30 was, I think, in my mind, what I wanted to start with, especially for that first one to have plenty of time in between laps. So 10:30 pace on the road, just kind of cruising. And then you turn around, come all the way back, pass the start line again and cut into the forest where you start the trails. And that's when the fun begins.
Oh, boy.
And the trails are super fun, really clear cut. I did almost make a wrong turn my first loop, which could have set the whole day off. I could have not made
a little different pace
off the first loop.
Yeah, a little different day than you might have thought.
Exactly.
At that point.
Yeah, I had my belt, so I made sure to take a goo 30 minutes in. I think I finished the first lap in 47 minutes or so. So I had a solid 13 in between.
So when you see the first loop finish line, were you thinking, okay, gosh, about time? Or were you like, oh, it's already here? Or about what you thought?
Probably, oh, it's already here.
Okay, good.
The first, I'd say, four that I did, I mean, it felt like I was flying. Not necessarily speed-wise, but just time-wise. Like, I remember, I think after the first three, that's 13 and a half miles, and my wife asked me, oh, how does it feel? You already did a half marathon. I was like, it does not even close to feel like I've done that much. I think it's good to, I'm good at compartmentalizing, like, okay, 4.5 miles, I'll do that on any given morning. It's like, oh, this is just another morning. Like, just do my morning run and then come back, fuel up. And the way the laps were formatted was easy to break up too. Like, okay, 2 miles on the road, that's pretty easy. 2 miles on the trail, that's fun. So you're kind of always ready for the next thing, like 2 miles road, 2 miles trail, and then you get to rest. And it's easy to break it up like that.
During the rest times, did you visit the Beacon of Light?
I did many times. I was hydrated for sure.
Good.
No Code Browns, which was great news.
For everybody
involved. But I think like the first three laps in between, I had to go pee. I was super hydrated.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you do the first lap, you rest 10 minutes. How did the second lap feel? Like, how did your body feel versus the first lap?
At that point, about the same. I felt really good. I feel like in between, I was able to get my heart rate just fully back down to resting. And then by the time I got going again, it felt like it was my first run of the day, honestly. It felt great.
You're 25. 25?
25 years old.
So you're a little younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine age has a little bit to do with it. What lap did you go, you know, my body's starting to stiffen up, or did it?
It definitely did. I'd say lap four started showing signs of like, okay, I can definitely recognize I'm getting closer to my distance PR, like getting up there in miles. By five, I was definitely like, okay, just slogging it out, counting. It really, you know, exponentially got worse after four. After five, I was like, okay, just need to toe the line two more times. And that's all I need. Six was pretty freaking brutal. And then seven was just like, everything in the tank. I was hobbling, kind of limping a little. Like, everything was hurting. So it got exponentially worse after four.
Do you think was part of that just the number of miles? Was part of that sitting down in between the laps? Was it all kind of combined together to give you that, you think?
I think all combined, yeah. And when you're running, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, you're keeping a decent pace. So I think it was, you know, I wasn't really walking much at all. It was like a jog the whole time or sitting down. So I think that just sped up the wear and tear on my legs for sure.
So you finished six,
mm-hmm.
and you've got how much time in between six and seven?
I think 7 minutes.
Okay, you got seven minutes.
Yep.
Was there ever a thought like, nah, I'm out, I'm done. My friends are here, they're hungry. Or were you always like, I'm doing seven?
I was for sure doing seven. Good. Yeah, that thought never crossed my mind. And it was a little hard. When I looked down, I'm like, oh man, I'm at 27 and change miles. That's already a PR. That's already technically an ultra, if we want to get technical.
True.
But you know, it's not the 50K I wanted. Told everyone like seven's the goal. I wasn't ready to drop at that point. And I met some other runners. I think loops two through four or five, I ran with a couple guys and told them that seven was my goal. And one of them told me, if I don't see you toeing the line for loop seven, I'm dragging you out there.
I love it.
Had some accountability in that sense. So never crossed my mind that I wasn't doing seven at that point.
Yeah, I do want to talk. We're going to dive in a little bit in terms of kind of meeting people because it's a different kind of experience. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask, for that seventh loop, was there any thought of like, you know, I can eke one more out, or like, this is it?
That was it at seven. I was hurting pretty bad. At that point, no one was around me. Everyone else who was still going was still cruising. And yeah, I was hanging back at like the 12:30 mile, which is, I just squeaked it out in under an hour. So yeah, that was it. I think me and I think there was one guy kind of hanging around my pace. We were both tapping after that one.
So of the 36 people that started loop one, how many started loop seven, do you think?
I think at that point, only five people had dropped.
Okay.
I think I was 20. Can't remember what I placed. I was like 27 or something. So only a handful of people had dropped at that point.
So these are some pretty serious runners. Oh,
I was one of the one of the first to drop.
Oh, no, hey, there's no shame in that.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm fine with that.
So what's the feeling? You're hitting the road for 2 miles in your seventh loop. You get to the trail. You get you're slogging along. You're just looking for that finish line. What's the feeling when you get to that finish line? And what happens at that point? How do you tap out?
Yep. So finally, I mean, I know the course like the back of my hand, so I know what to expect. And honestly, caught a little bit of a second wind towards the end of that trail section. I was feeling okay. Brought it in, had about 3 minutes to spare. And you ring a cowbell.
Nice.
To signify that you're done. And the guy made sure, whoever started it, I think his name maybe was Ben.
Okay.
It might have been Briston. I don't know. I can't remember. But he said, you got to ring it loud and proud. And if you don't ring it loud, he's going to DNF you. It's count on ultra sign up or whatever it is. So grab that cowbell. And that's all I was thinking about the last lap was like, man, I'm ready to grab that thing and ring it with all my might. So that's what I did.
I love it.
Yep.
So now that you've had a few days to think about, first of all, how'd the body feel day, you know, two, three, four after the race?
It's hard to say. I felt really rough the day after, and you and my training plan had a 45-minute walk, which I was kind of cursing at you for in the moment because that's the last thing I wanted to do. But me and my wife walked to downtown Garland, where we live, and went to a brewery, grabbed a beer, and then walked back, needed a little, you know, motivation. But I'm definitely thankful that we did that because I feel much better now. Went on my first run 2 days ago, so I guess 3 days post-race, and definitely felt it. I could tell my body was still recovering, but I was able to run and don't feel sore, you know, even just 4 or 5 days after. So recovering a lot quicker than maybe I expected. I expected maybe the full week to be out of commission, but I'm feeling pretty good.
And then talk to us about what you learned now that you've thought back on it. And if you, well, I guess let me ask you a question. Will you do another one of these?
I think definitely. Yeah, I'd say so.
It's a good experience. And so what did you learn now on you're on the other side of it that you would either do differently or apply or do the same?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's hard to say. I think the people who are able to really excel in those races just have a lot of miles under their belt. A lot of zone 2 miles, maybe especially. So I'd say just more of the same, more training, more time on the feet, because yeah, the guys I met, and I'm sure we'll, you know, talk more about that. They were going about my pace, but were able to go double my distance. So it's like, you know, they're running my same speed, but just able to go a lot longer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you who won or did you meet the people that won and how far did they go?
Didn't meet the winners. So two people actually agreed to tap out at the same time. And I think they went, I'm trying to remember, 90 something miles, so that no one hit the 100 mile this year. The record was set last year with 24 lands, wow, which I think was 103.5. And the conditions last year were horrible.
Uh-oh.
It was super muddy. So just thinking back on that, I'm blown away that that even happened last year. But I think 90 something miles, maybe 22 lands won it this year. But yeah, I didn't get to meet the winners, unfortunately.
So you mentioned time on feet, just more miles under you. Any other learning? You're like, this is what I would do differently next year?
Man, what would I do different next year?
Or you're like, hey, it was kind of what I thought, and I executed a good plan because my coach had me ready.
It's true. My coach did a fantastic job.
Amazing.
Was very ready. I'd say just more of the same. I don't think I had really any big mistakes. I think I fueled pretty well. I got hungry after, you know, loop five, but I think that's fair. And I ate a lot after that and felt good for the rest of it. So I'd say just more of the same, more training, more miles, and I would have been able to, you know, go a little further.
I think what's really cool about this race is you are running with the same pack of people.
Mm-hmm.
You may see them only at the start line.
Yep.
You may run with a few of them most of the way. What were the dynamics socially? Like, did you get to know the kind of the same people because you saw them every loop? What was that like?
Yeah. So I got to run with, I guess, the same kind of pack of guys. There were three or four of them that were going kind of my 10:30 at first, and then towards the middle of my run was more of an 11 minute pace, and they also kind of slowed down a little bit. There was a big pack of people kind of in that 10 minute mile pace, probably 15 to 20 runners kind of all in that group, and then one or two guys just 8-9 minutes
gone.
But it was really cool. I mean, getting to run with these guys that in a normal race they're, you know, leaving me in the dust, and I got to kind of talk with them, get to know them, which was really cool, kind of getting to have those same guys for a couple laps.
I love it. Tell us a little bit about crew. So you had a group of people there. Is crew in this situation a little bit more like just cheerleaders, or did you really need someone to go, okay, you need to eat, you need to drink, you need to pop a blister? Like, tell us a little bit about the crew situation.
Yeah. I mean, most of my crew had never even been to a race before, I would think. So it was more just the cheerleader, good vibes, like in between laps, just let's talk about anything but running. Let's just make jokes and have fun. I told, you know, my wife kind of what I needed in between each one. I needed a goo. I needed more electrolytes, whatever that looked like. But for the most part, it was just social hour with the crew, which is exactly what I needed, to be honest.
Did you go, oh gosh, I gotta go back and toe the line, I want to keep talking? Or yes, was it like,
yes, especially towards the end, I'd look back at the timer and it's like 4 minutes. It's just like, golly, it's the last thing I want to do right now. Early on, it was like, okay, this is fun. Like, they get to see me doing what I like to do. And, but yeah, towards the end, it's like, man, I just want to hang out with my buddies.
I love it. So, will you do another? You said you probably would do another one.
I think so. I don't know if I do the same one. I loved it. I had a great experience. I maybe would. Part of me is like, it's a little traumatic even just thinking about that loop again, just because, I mean, I was hurting pretty bad towards the end. I think most backyard ultras do like a 4.1 something to, I think it adds up. If you do 24, it's exactly 100. I'd maybe do one where it's like, okay, you can go a little bit slower, like that 4.5 miles, even though it's just a little bit, like, makes kind of a big difference in the pace that you have to maintain. So I think that was, you know, a harder aspect. I'd maybe do this one again next year, though.
So if someone's listening and go, hey, I'm thinking about doing a last person standing,
mm-hmm,
what advice would you give them?
Man, what advice? That's a good question. I'd say, yeah, just run your own race. It's hard when you see the fast guys every single time going out fast and you feel like you need to keep up. That's not the case at all. I mean, you're running your own race literally, and you can keep your 13 minute mile. If you can do that, you know, for a full day, you're going to probably win the race. Like, is very unique in that aspect. I'd say have a good plan going in of what you want, but mostly just listen to your body and do what it needs and whatever that looks like. If you need to sit, if you need to stand, if you need to walk around. But yeah, I'd say just go into it and get ready to have a good time. It was a lot of fun.
I love it. Well, Hato, congratulations. You're an ultra marathoner now.
Thank you.
Your final total was seven laps. 32 miles. Check them out on Strava. Yep. You can see the course.
Kudos needed. Thank you.
Yes, give them some kudos. Hato, thanks for joining us and thanks for sharing your experience. I think this is one race I think a lot of people have not done before, but there's a lot of intrigue around. So thanks for sharing your experience and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that special one deep dive segment of the Big Ass Runner. Thanks, Hato, for joining the show and for sharing your experience. If you're interested in one of these races, check them out. Let me know if you've done one, if you've had the same kind of experience. I am intrigued, although I'm not running as far, I don't think, anymore. I think I would like to do one of these. There's something about it that's pretty appealing. Well, thanks, Hato. Thanks, Caleb, for that awesome introduction. And thanks, Candace, for sharing your insight into adding heat and sauna into your training. With that, get out there, hit those trails, and keep running your asses off. I was alone. I never knew what good love could do. Talked about hot. No. We know a couple of the guys. Oh, Lord.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. I got to quit smoking cigarettes.
Smoking. And then just really.
I'm going to die.
Oh, my Lord. Goodness.
So you could average